to stand up for Jesus.
And
the time this morning to challenge our hearts. So you pray for him as he preaches to us.
Thank you, Pastor, very much. Thank you for letting me be here and for... thank you. Thank you for letting me return. That's always a novel thing. I usually misbehave so bad no one wants me back. But you've been kind enough to let me return this week. And I hope that you'll make this something that you'll put on your calendar for every day this week. Let's get a Bible today and open it to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians 3. Encourage you to be back tonight. This evening I'll be leading you in a Bible study of the beginning of the New Testament churches. When did churches begin? Who was the founder? What did they look like tonight? So I hope that you'll plan to be back at the 5:30 service. Is that the right time? All right. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14 through the end of the chapter is one of the 650 prayers in the Bible. You'll be glad that I'm not preaching all 650 today, right? There are three actually in the epistle to the Christians at Ephesus, and this is the middle one. There's one in chapter 1, and then there's a final one in chapter 6. Let's look at this prayer today. It's a great prayer. I hope God will use today to speak to our hearts. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now that's a great place for us to begin our day, isn't it? On our knees before God, praying to God, the Father, and realizing that we're a part of a great family that's been saved by the grace of God and placed into the family of God. Paul finishes that little small introduction in his prayer and continues with four petitions that begin with the word that. You can see them in your Bible. If you want to mark that, you'll be able to see the word that as the beginning of four petitions. Verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now the first petition is that God's Spirit might strengthen our life to live for him. I mean, we can't do this in our own strength. We need the strength of God to be able to live the life God has for us. And then verse 17, the next that statement is the second petition, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, some people say, well, I thought the Spirit of God was already in me. What's Paul saying there? He uses the word dwell there, which means to be at home. Have you ever been in a place where you didn't feel at home? The Bible says here that we need to pray that Christ might feel at home, that he might come deeply into our lives and be settled down into our lives, and that Christ may feel at home in our hearts by faith. And then there's a third that statement also beginning in verse 17. It's a long one down through the first part of verse 19. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now, there's the third request. He said, I pray that you might be strengthened by the Spirit. I pray that Christ might settle down into your life. And now he says, I want you to know that which can't be fully known. And that is to know the love of Christ. And he talks about the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of Christ. And he says, I want you to know as much as you can know, but you can never know the full extent of Christ's love for you. And then there's a final that statement in verse 19, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I want to hold my hand up and say, I don't know what that is, but I want to get in line for that. I want the fullness of God in my life. Whatever that is, I want God's fullness. And Paul prayed that they might pray, that his petition might be answered, that they might be filled with the fullness of God. Now you want to know, well, how can something so big be accomplished? Well, verse 20 tells us, he says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You see, the power to pull off these petitions is the power of God that lives in your life right now. You're not looking for a second blessing. You're not looking for additional power. The power of God operates in your life right now. And the power of God is exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. There's something there for you that you've never gotten fully into. And Paul says that's how these four petitions can be accomplished. And then in verse 21 is the verse I want to settle in on today. Just want to kind of give you a little opening there if I might. And verse 21 is where my heart really is today. It says, unto him, Paul's saying, he's pointing back up to the Father, back up in verse number 14. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And let's look at that. It begins by saying, unto him, unto God the Father. That is, the God who created your life physically. The God who ordained you into the privilege of being saved. The God who has given you providential protection all through your life. Unto him be glory. That's why you're on the earth right now. It's to bring glory to the Father. Unto him be glory in the church. My, that's great, isn't it? You know, God has a place for you to bring glory to him in. And that's in the church. God wants you to be giving him and bringing him glory by Christ Jesus. There's only one star in the church. That's the bright and morning star. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. That's history. World without end. That's eternity. And all God's people said, amen. One of the great verses in the Bible about the church. I'm here this week to bring this seminar on Still a Baptist. Neither angry nor ashamed of it. And what I want to do today is to, I want to bring a study to you. Actually, it's a call to revival that my book says. A call to revival. And that I want to offer you today the easiest thing you can do to help your church and yourself with the biggest immediate return. Let me give you that title again. The easiest thing you can do to help your church and yourself with the biggest immediate return. Now, I know that's a bad title. I teach preaching at a preaching workshop that our church hosts in March every year, and I know that that is too big of a title. It needs some work on it. I heard about a student that was being taught preaching at a seminary, and the body of the message was good, but the title was just too complex. I forget it was just about as complex as mine. And the professor said to the student, said the sermon itself was good, but the title needs some work. You need to go home and get a better title. And the young preacher said, well, I don't understand. So the professor said, well, suppose there was a bus of people driving past the church where you were preaching, and they looked on your church sign, and the title of your message was so compelling that they would say to the driver, stop, we want to get off. And so the young preacher thought about it. He said, I can understand that. So the next day he came back and brought his sermon to the professor, and the new title was, There's a Bomb on the Bus. Well, he didn't get it, did he? He missed the whole point. But I hope you don't miss the point. There's something very easy that you can do to help your church. And by helping your church, you will help yourself. And when you do this thing, you will find out it will give you the biggest immediate return. So let's talk about that today. Now, before we can do it, we're going to have to identify what the church is. Unto Him be glory in the church. A lot of people have the idea that the building is the church. For instance, most people, and we fall into the same kind of bad thinking. I call it sinking thinking. We fall into the thinking that, well, let's put up a picture of our church on the website. And what do you have on there? You have a building. Folks, the building is not the church. Your building could blow down or burn down tonight and you'd still be the church, the Bible Baptist Church of Dumas. The building is not the church. Actually, the word church comes from a compound Greek word, ekklesia. And the preface on it is ek, out of, and the word, the noun is kaleo, which means to gather or to be called. And together it means to be a called out gathering, a called out body, a called out assembly, if you will. And really, when you think about it, we're a called out people. Do you remember when you were saved? You were called by God. You didn't know what was going on at the time, but my friend, it was as clear to you as anything, and that was God was calling you. And if I could just simplify what salvation is, it is God calling you and you obeying the call. Now, I know you need to know the gospel. I know you need to know your sinfulness. But salvation really is being called by God. And you know what sanctification is? It's being called to God. That is, we're called now to salvation so that we can devote our life to God. Everything about our life is to be for God. And thank God, one of these days we're going to be called out to be with God. That's glorification. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. See, it's a called out thing that I'm emphasizing today. Well, let me give you the answer so that we can get on with establishing this easiest thing that you can do to help your church and yourself with the biggest immediate return. After 53 years of preaching and after 50 years of being pastor of 5 Baptist churches, the easiest thing you can do to help your church and yourself with the biggest immediate return is to gather every week. Isn't that simple? Now, if it's too simple for some of you, just get over it and let me talk to you. You say, are you kidding me? You mean that the biggest return that I could get and it would help my church and help me is to simply show up? Yeah. Amen. Wouldn't it be great if every member of Bible Baptist Church showed up for church on Sunday? Whoa. That'll put a smile on your face, won't it? You talk about make these old ugly ushers happy? Amen. I don't mean that, guys. Y'all look pretty to somebody. I don't know who that is. Wouldn't it be great, though, if the ushers were overwhelmed? I'm not talking about strangers from Dumas, Texas. I'm talking about members of Bible Baptist Church. Let me dream for a moment. What if every member came every Sunday to every service? What if they came back on Sunday night? What if they came every Sunday to every service and they had with them a Bible. And what if they came every Sunday to every service having a Bible and having gotten their families together and prayed before the service began, before they came, that God would pour out His blessings on the gathered church? What if every member came every Sunday to every service with a Bible, with a prayer, and inside that little Bible right there was a tithe envelope? Amen. I tell you, there wouldn't be any financial need this church would ever have if every member tithed. I'm talking about, what if every member came every service, every Sunday, with a Bible, having prayed, with a tithe envelope that had something in it? Don't put an empty one in there. And then had on their arm a visitor that they had had a burden for so that they could be with them in church that day. My soul, I'm telling you, revival would break out in Bible Baptist Church. It's the easiest thing that we could do, and yet we're not doing the easiest thing. You know why the world out there doesn't take us serious in here? It's because those in here don't take church serious. It's become sort of the casual thing that we put on our list of 100 things we've got to do this week, and maybe one of the least favored things. And as a result, when we try to reach the lost out there with the gospel, they sort of ho-hum us. If we would get on fire, the world out there would come watch us burn. It's got to start by attending church, though. You see, the gathered church is our doctrine. It's our doctrinal understanding of who we are. There's no such thing as a non-congregating congregation. Come on now, help me out a little bit. The word ecclesia means a gathered people. That's our doctrine. If you're going to be a church, doctrinally, you're going to have to be a gathered church. Ecclesia in the Bible throughout, which we will learn this week, was an assembly, a visible local assembly of baptized believers who gathered for worship and are carrying out God's work on the earth. That's who we are. That's our doctrine. We are the gathered people of God. Now, there's some gatherings that aren't that hot. I had one yesterday. I gathered at Walmart. I just don't like that place. I'm not spiritual enough to go there regularly. The only person in our family that is my wife. She has the Walmart assignment. I don't like that place. I try to avoid it at all costs. Now, there are other places, there are other gatherings that I like. I like the gathering at Krispy Kreme. Amen. Come on, how about some good preaching going on here, right? You're into Whole Food too, right? Today, all over America, there are going to be gatherings at sports stadiums where people are there to cheer on their favorite team. Ladies and gentlemen, the church is the gathering of the living God. This is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, the church Jesus died for, the church Jesus loves. We ought to be excited about it. It's our doctrine. It's also our DNA. Any saved people here today? Anybody saved here today? All right. Now, you're free to look around. This is going to still astound you. How many people in the building today, I'm holding my hand up as the first, how many people in the building were saved in a church service? Hold your hand up. Isn't that amazing? Look around. Hold them up. Come on. Hold them up. Saved in a church service. Thank you. Folks can get saved in church. And what happens when people get saved, either in church or out of church, is God gives you a love for church. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. You pass from death into life because you love the brethren. Before you got saved, you thought church people were weird, and now you are one. You're just weird. You're a church person. It's your DNA. It's not something you had to work at. Matter of fact, you've got to backslide in order not to be a church person. Because God puts it in your heart to find somebody else who loves Jesus like you love Jesus. It's in your spiritual DNA. You know what's happening in America today, though? There are large percentages of people who are members of Baptist churches who don't attend that church. You know what I'm talking about? You see all these big, big, large churches. They say we have 20,000 members. They have an auditorium that seats 5,000. Hey, do you know that 7 out of 6 people have trouble with math? Okay. Those of you that didn't get that, you're the one that has the problem. Hey, the biggest mission field in America are churches, where people who say they're saved don't come to church. My old daddy used to say, a lot of church problems would be solved with some church folks getting saved. And I added to it, or a few good funerals. I'm a pester, not a pastor anymore. Hey, I'd be a little concerned about a salvation that's supposed to take you to heaven when you die, but it doesn't take you to church when you're alive. You need to check that out. It's our spiritual DNA. You say, well, how do you get in a church? Well, thirdly, it follows an intentional decision on your part. You don't become a part of a church by accident. You become a part of a church on purpose by a decision you make to join yourself to that church. Are you with me today? Help me out a little bit. Gary Thomas. Did I have that quote up? I don't. Okay. I remember that I don't. I'm the guy that put that together, and I'm... You know that God's real... This is really good today. The last two times I've preached this, the sound booth was inhabited by an evil spirit. Now, I'm not talking about the guy running it. So everything's going good. You're doing great. It was amazing to me, a guy by the name of Gary Thomas, who wrote in his book, Authentic Faith. Listen to this quote. This may sound shocking to some, but biblically, living for God means living for the church. You know what's shocking to me? That would be shocking to anybody that reads their Bible. Living for God means living for the church. How do you get in the church? Well, according to Acts 2:41, they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. If you're going to be saved, you need to be baptized. If you're going to be in a church and you're saved, you need to be baptized. Let me get that right again now. If you're saved and you want to be a part of a church, you got to be baptized to get in the church. A person who's never been baptized is not a member of a church. That's why some of you may be saved but never have come for baptism, need today to present yourself to this church and say, I want to be a member today. I want to be baptized by this church. It's the answer of a good conscience toward God. What if the baptismal waters of this church were regularly stirred? I'll tell you what happened. You'd have revival. And it would be about the church and those who are being saved and those who are submitting their life to become a part of a church by baptism. Now, that's not the only way you can join a Baptist church. You can join a church also by transferring your membership from another sound Baptist church. That is, if you've been saved and been baptized by a scriptural Baptist church, you can present yourself to the church and request membership based on the fact that you are saved and you've been scripturally baptized and you hold membership in another church. Now, there are a lot of people that attend churches that don't become members of it. They just attend. I mean, they just come in and they listen, they like the music, they like the preaching, they like the people. They just never get around to joining up. They never join it. I mean, you know, some people say, well, I like the church all right, but our membership's back in the old country church back there and down there in the South. And, you know, Grandma's buried in the cemetery down there. And, yeah, we have an emotional attachment to that. Well, I got some advice for you. Dig up Grandma and come on. We'll find a place for Grandma somewhere around here. And we'll make room for her, not make her feel bad. But you need to come on and become a part of the church where you're attending. See, we don't think people that are living together are really married. And we don't think that people simply attend church are really members. You got to make a decision to do it. And some of you today may need to make the decision to present yourself to this church to get into its membership. I know this. The gathered church is our delight. It ought to be a great thing to be in church today. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Now, there are a lot of people fight their way to church. They may have to fight the devil. We shouldn't fight each other. But you ought to be happy that you're gathered to gather in church. We're gathered today to meet God, to listen to God, to honor God, to obey God. We're here for God, not ourselves. We're for God. It should be our delight. And you should do everything you can to honor God by being in church every week in every service. My dad and mom's picture is on the screen right now. My dad was a Baptist preacher for 60 plus years of his life and brought up in his home. I thought it was a good thing to do to live with them. But the last year of my dad's life, he survived on one heart artery that was opened 10%. And when he got that news from the doctor, he wasn't discouraged at all. He said, you know, I think I'll just die like Jacob. I'll put my feet up in the bed and yield up the ghost and be gathered to my people. He just got excited about going to heaven. But as he got up in the bed and stayed there for several days and into a few weeks, he finally realized that it wasn't his call when he was going to go to heaven. So one day he said to my mama, he said, Mama, you think maybe I could get out of bed? He didn't have any strength at all. He said, you think I could get out of bed and maybe go sit in the chair just a few feet past his bed? And my mother said, you can if you want to. And he said, well, I want to. So my mom helped my dad up out of the bed to his little walker, made his 5 or 6 steps over to the chair, and sat in the chair in his bedroom and did that for several days until finally Daddy said to Mama, he said, Mama, you think maybe I could have breakfast in the kitchen? That was the next room over from their bedroom. And Mama said, you can if you want to. And he said, I want to. And so Mama helped Daddy up out of bed, past the chair, into the kitchen, and sat in there the early morning of the day, and finally he was tired and go back to bed. And finally, after several days of that, he said to Mama, said, Mama, you think maybe we could go into the TV room just to be in there? I don't like the television that much, but I remember all the good times we had together there. And she said, you can if you want to. So Mama helped him to the kitchen. They had breakfast, then helped him over to the TV room and spent the morning there. And finally Daddy was tired and went back to bed. Daddy had been out of church for months because he just wasn't well enough to go. And one day he said to my mother, he said, Mama, you think I could go back to church? And she said, you can if you want to. My dad really wanted to, and so for that first week, from Monday to Sunday morning, Daddy just did his little past the chair to the kitchen to the den and back and back and back until finally he got up Sunday morning and Mama helped him dress and she got in the Suburban and they drove the 300 feet to church. Daddy was in church. finally, he started going every service. He became a nuisance, actually. He had a little NASCAR motor on his little walker. When he'd come in, he'd fire it up. And finally, I said to Mama, I said, Mama, you think we could go back on Wednesday night, too? She said, you can if you want to. So now Daddy was resting from Monday to Wednesday night and Thursday morning to Sunday morning so he could go to church. My brother David was the pastor of the church where my mom and dad were members. And Brother David said, Dad, I'm going to be out of town next week and I want you to preach for me. My dad said to my mother, said, Mama, you think I could maybe preach? She said, you can if you want to. So my dad got up the next Monday, and it was a little different routine. He, instead of going to the kitchen and to the TV room, he went to his study. For the next 5 days, he's studying in the morning, resting in the afternoon. So Sunday came around, he got out, Mom helped him dress, he got in the Suburban, they went next door to the church. Time for preaching to start, they helped him up the four steps to the podium area. Put his hand on the pulpit and preached a 20-minute sermon. How about an amen for a 20-minute sermon? 8 days later, Daddy went to heaven. My brother David, he's a little weird. They say it jumps every two or three kids. My brother David said, if that was all Daddy was waiting on, I'd ask him to preach earlier. That's my brother. You know why you don't go to church like you could? Because you don't want to. You know, if you could go watch your grandchildren watch a football game on Thursday night, you can go to church on Sunday. You know, if you ladies can go to a beauty shop appointment to get all spruced up, you can go to church on Sunday. You guys that get out there in this ridiculous weather and go hunting, kill a poor little innocent animal, you can go to church on Sunday. You know why you don't sometimes? Because you don't want to. Amen. It should be our delight. Now, even when it's not your delight, it's still your duty. If you're kind of waiting and say, well, I'll get that feeling sometime, preacher. Well, I don't care whether you get the feeling or not. Show up anyway. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some men is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25 tells us it's more important to go to church today than any other day before today. Amen. So much the more as you see the day approaching. What's that? That's the coming of Jesus. Amen. You need to be in church. It's your duty to be in church. Man got up on Sunday morning and said, I'm not going to church today. Told his wife, I ain't going today. She said, well, sure you are. He said, no, I'm not going. Said, well, you've gone every Sunday before. Well, I'm not going this Sunday. And he said to his wife, tell me three reasons why I need to be in church today. She said, well, number one, the Bible tells us we are to be in church every week. He said, well, you're right about that, but I don't do what the Bible says half the time anyway. And he said, well, what's number two? She said, well, you'll feel better when you go. Everybody feels better when they go to church. And he said, well, you're right about that. I feel better. He said, now that third one's got to be really good or I ain't going. And she said, well, you're the preacher. Now get dressed and get your Bible and let's go. That's right. You know why people stay in a perpetual state of discouragement? A lot of it is connected to the fact that they're laying out a church. We exhort one another by being together in church. We encourage one another when we come to church. If a good church attendance encourages you, guess what a bad attendance does? That's right. You need to gather as a duty to the church. Now, if you're going to gather, let me suggest that you do so with the right disposition. Just coming to church with a sorry attitude won't get it done. Now, I'd rather you be here with a sorry attitude, because God can work on that sorry attitude by preaching. But you need to come with a great attitude before you show up. I'm not playing down your problems. Now, I wouldn't do that at all. I've been a pastor. I've loved people all my life who've been in church. I've tried to be an encouragement. But you know, some people just try to rain on the parade just as soon as they walk in the door. How you doing? Oh, my soul. And they give you a full medical report and every kind of dysfunction that's happened in their family that week. Why don't you come positive? Why don't you come saying, you know, bless God, this is the Lord's day. We're going to hear the Lord's word by the Lord's man among the Lord's people. Maybe God's going to do something phenomenal today. Why don't you come with the right spirit, the right disposition? Now, some folks say, well, I'm not going back down there anymore because they hurt my feelings. Well, try that at Walmart. They hurt my feelings all the time. I keep going back. Try that at the gas station. I'm telling you, it aggravates me when I put my card in there and get my gas that I got to walk 30 feet to get a receipt sometimes. That just bugs me to death. Instead of having a personal encounter with a real person that needs me there to maybe give them a gospel, I'd rather be selfish and worry about my 30 feet that I'm walking on that day. You say, well, I don't know anybody in church. Take a mirror. You're the problem. If you don't know anybody at the church, you're the problem. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. We had a family who was between ministries, came into our church for 3 months. They have since moved to be on staff at a church in Virginia. They came back last summer. They were in our church for 3 months now. They came back last summer, and you would have thought they had been longtime charter members of our church. You know why? For 3 months, they came to every service and every activity. Our people got to know them. If people don't know you, it's your problem, not theirs, because you come in late and leave early and then wonder why nobody knows you. Come on, give the church a break. And then somebody says, well, if you want to really know, I just don't like my preacher. Well, neither does Sister Stacy half the time, but she's stuck with him. Come on. She's stuck with him. Why don't you put your big boy pants on and act like a mature Christian and get over your self-centeredness? Come on. Get the right spirit when you come to church. God will bless you for it. Now here's the final heading. Everybody gets excited about the final one. Here it is. Preacher, you say, I'm kind of having a really problem with this church deal. I can't really get this thing nailed down. I can't figure out why it's such a... You say it's the easiest thing. Why can't I find it that easy? Here's the key to it. If we're going to get this church thing right, the gathered church thing right, it's going to be based on our devotion to Jesus Christ Himself. It's about Him. See, what I read to you in Ephesians 3:21 about Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, is not the last word to the church at Ephesus. The last word to the church at Ephesus is in Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 4, where Jesus said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Now, folks, we just nailed it down. We haven't got church right because we don't have Jesus right. If you'll get Jesus right, you'll begin to find how easy it is to get church right. So what we really need to do as a gathered people is to get back to making much of Jesus. It's not about the pastor. You've got a good one. It's not about the staff. You've got good people that are doing a lot of the work around here, folks. It's about Jesus. Is He your Savior? That's not a rhetorical question. That's kind of a response. Yes. Is He your Savior? If He is, then we just need to be making a lot about that. Can you believe that He would save us? That He would give us the privilege to know Him. That we would get to obey Him and follow Him and learn of Him and love Him. Folks, if you don't have the Jesus thing right, you can't get the church thing right. We got to get back to Jesus, making much of Him. You know, it's really simple. I'm doing a personal study right now of the book of Malachi. I've read it through 20 times so far. I'm just challenged to just keep reading that book through. It takes about 15 minutes. And there's a statement that our God makes in chapter 3, verse 7, where He says to them, "Return unto Me." You know what He says He'll do? "I'll return unto you." James reiterates that in chapter 4, verse 8, when he says, God says, "Draw nigh to Me, and I will draw nigh to you." You see, folks, a lot of what we need to be is not God's problem, it's our problem. God stands ready for us to fix this church thing if we will just get near to Him. And He says, "I'm ready. I'm available. I'm willing. I'm waiting. Draw nigh to Me. I'll draw nigh to you." And today, this church, if it's like every other Baptist church that I'm aware of in this age right now, has gotten soft on church. And we need to repent of that. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the building of Christ. We need to love what He loved. He loved the church and gave Himself for it. And I'm calling you today. This is God's call to revival. God's call to revival is to get back in church and make it the priority of your personal life and your family life. And God says, "Draw nigh to Me and I'll draw nigh to you." What if five individuals who are in this building today would say, "I haven't been doing church like I ought to be doing church, but after today, I will. I'm going to be back tonight. I'm not a Sunday night person, but I need to be." Think what five people who don't usually come to church on all the services, what kind of impact that could make on this church. Think about a couple, a man and a wife, who right now in the service or after this service say to one another, "You know that little skinny bald-headed preacher? Got me. He nailed me today. And honey, guy's talking now. That's not a good man name. Man talking. Honey, I haven't shown the leadership that I need to lead in this family, but we're going to be back in church." What if five couples were added to the five individuals who started making church the priority it deserves? What if five families, a mom and a dad and a bubba and a sister, had a little family meeting and said, we haven't been doing church right. And we've been letting the tail wag the dog. We've been going to every soccer game and every baseball game and every cheerleading competition and every school function. And we've been doing all of that at the expense of the church. And today, that ends.
Amen.
That ends. You can do all those other things. You really can. You can do all those other things, but you shouldn't be doing them at the expense of the church. My wife and I right now, we are crazy on Thursday night. Some of you see my post on Facebook. We've got a little superstar, little kid, ninth grader, that's a quarterback and a halfback and a linebacker. And I mean, he does everything. The coach says, where you want to play? Put me wherever you want me to. Man, wherever he does. Man, we are crazy. You hear us hollering out there, just acting like grandparents. You know, we've been able to still find our way to church on Sunday. Folks, the easiest thing you can do to help your church and yourself with the biggest immediate return is to start showing up.
Amen.
You can have a revival right here today. Right here today. If everybody in this building would say, the Lord's speaking to my heart, we're going to get this church thing right. You're going to find your life having two forces. You're going to have God's force of power in your life to be able to carry out this plan, and you're going to find the force of the devil kind of coming against that decision to try not make it happen. Guess who's going to win that if you follow him? God.
Amen.
Devil's a jerk. That's a Greek word for jerk. You're learning a lot of Greek words today, aren't you? Yeah, you are. I'm telling you, folks, we just need to get back to making much of Jesus and getting back in church.
Amen.
Let's pray together today with your heads bowed, please. Pastor will be here to receive you as we offer an invitation for you to come today. If there's a place you can come today to pray as a family, to pray as a couple, pray as an individual today, to get your church life back in order like it needs to be. Let's listen to the Lord speak to our hearts. Father, thank you today for the privilege to be here among these people of God, and what a rich history and what blessings you poured out upon this place. But it's been principally because we've made much of your Son, Jesus, and we've stayed in church. Can't think of a problem in life that's solved by getting out of church. But I can think of 100 today that are complicated because people begin to get soft on going to church. God, would you break in today on these dear folks? Would you speak loudly into their hearts today a deep conviction that we not only need a Christ-centered life, but a church-connected life? For those that aren't saved, may they be brought to Christ who died for them. For those who are saved, but not in a church, may today there be folks that would surrender to scriptural baptism. Those that are saved and baptized the right way and members of a sound Baptist church would today say, I want to join up with those people there and be a part of the gathered people here at Bible Baptist Church. God, only you can do what needs to be done. As you've offered us the opportunity to come to you, to return to you, to draw near to you today, may these folks obey today for the honor and glory of Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen. While we're